Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. And you know, I was having breakfast the other day. I looked in the milk carton and I found Mike Brown. He came back to the show. My man, Mike Brown from... What the hell's the name of your company again?
Brown Capital.
I'm kidding. But what's your website? Browninvestment.net?
Browncapital.org.
Brown Capital. Oh, that was close, see? I only missed on a couple of things. But, Mike, it's always great to have you on, obviously. It's getting ready for baseball season. Did you guys start practice yet?
We start tomorrow, actually. 6 to 9 p.m. tomorrow night.
All right.
First day.
All right. It's back, and how's the boy looking?
He looks all right. He's about 200 pounds now, so taller than me. So we'll see. We'll see. The best thing about freshmen is they become sophomores.
That's for sure. And they grow, and some are really good to begin with. But you know, we've got a lot of things going on. And I guess the first thing I'd want to ask you, as you and I were both kind of for Donald Trump, what's your assessment of his first week in office?
He's not letting any moss grow under his feet, is he?
No, he ain't.
I would give it thumbs up. I mean, he is, unlike a lot of politicians, he campaigned on a certain platform, and he is following up on it. And he's not wasting any time. And I like his appointment. I like General Mattis. I like Wilbur Ross. I think the people he's bringing in, they're not people who are, they're not there for the experience. I thought with the last administration, you know, a lot of time was spent flying around on the jet and golfing and taking some vacations. I mean, these are people that already have their own jets. So they're there to serve their country. And obviously, you know, he's not even taking a salary. So they're there to serve. And I think they've hit the ground running. And these are very accomplished people who've got a lot done in their lives. And I think it's going to be good for us. So I'm encouraged after the first week. So
as am I. I think, listen, I think that again, you may not always agree with what he's doing, but I believe, and you and I have had this conversation before, is I believe that the country needs a CEO. We need a business guy. We don't need another politician. We have enough of those guys around the world. We need somebody who knows how to run a business, keep a budget, and try to put things in proper perspective. And I do believe that Donald Trump will do that. We may not always agree with what he does. I mean, for example, what is your take on the Mexican thing right now?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I think it's 120 of 150 of our top 150 trading partners already put a 20% tax on anything that we send into their country. So he's not, you know, that's just bringing us up to par with the other countries. As far as the wall goes, you know, the world is getting smaller and smaller. You know, there's twice as many people on the face of the planet as there was in 1968. You know, if you're going to have a nation, you need to have borders. I mean, we have legal immigration policies that have been in place for decades, if not centuries, where people can come to this country, but there's a way to do it. And it's not just coming across the border. And in this day and age where you can go on the internet and figure out how to make a dirty bomb or do different things, I mean, we really need to have some idea who's coming in here and why they're coming in here. I'm not for keeping everybody out. You know, some of our greatest citizens, obviously we're all immigrants at one time or another, right? if people came over on the Mayflower, you were an immigrant.
Right.
I'm for immigration, but I'm for immigration through the legal processes where we know who they are and where they're from. So, you know, my son's roommate, his family just became a citizen. His family are Assyrian Christians, and they immigrated here 7 or 8 years ago, from persecution and, at the hands of Muslims, in northern Iraq. So I liked his take on Christians first. I mean, we are a country, you know, we are a Western-based Christian country. I mean, that has been, we allow all religions. We have freedom of religion. You know, we're not taking you out and stoning you if you are, you know, Jewish, Muslim, Christian, Lutheran, Catholic, whatever. That's going on in these other places. So I'm not, you know, if you come here and you're willing to assimilate, you know, you can practice your religion unfettered. But don't come here thinking that you're going to change, you know, what we have been for the last 240 years, which is a, you know, Christian-based society. We're not going to, you know, if your intent is to come here and try and change everything to Sharia law, okay, well, then, you know, I'm going to push back on that. So, and I like that that he's taking a stance on some of this. You know, I thought too often we pandered, you know, to the lowest common denominator. You know, democracy is not about every single one that any group has. It's, you know, the majority. If the majority of people want it, then we'll vote for it.
I agree with you. I think that the his little tete-a-tete or little battle with Mexico is actually, listen, you can look at it any way you want. I think it's a bargaining ploy, and I think that you know, he's showing his expertise as a businessman. He told them basically to scratch, and then they called, and I guess they had a conversation on Friday, and maybe they'll work something out. But, I mean, we have to have much better immigration. I mean, it's, listen, in this country, they take you back across the border. The next day, you're back here again. I mean, so that's not the way it's supposed to be, and there's too many things going on in this world that need to be tracked, and that being one of them. I mean, you know, again, as you said, you want to come to this country? Great. I have no problem. I'm not against it. But again, I don't want, you know, just anybody walking in who decides that they want to, you know, go ahead and blow us up. Because you know that if they had the, if some of these people had the nuclear weapon capability, they'd have already bombed the United States. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's not that they're not trying. You know, I mean, since, you know, go back before 9/11, you know, go back to the first Twin Towers bombing. You know, they're trying. You know, every day that goes by that we don't have an incident, it's not because someone around the world isn't trying. It's that we're interdicting them, you know, many times, you know, far away from America, but we are interdicting them. So it's, you know, we need to know who's here. And it's a policy that I approve of. I mean, you know, here I've seen things on social media that were there. You know, we turned away, in the past, we've turned away, you know, Jewish children that were fleeing the Holocaust. And those were mistakes. And there'll be mistakes on this end. But you have to have a policy in place. You have to be willing to enforce it. It's not going to be perfect. Going the other route and throwing the borders open to everybody is not perfect either. Not everybody who wants to get here or deserves to get here is going to get here that way. So there's no perfect solution, but I think if you err on the side of caution and you take it slowly like they're doing and you try to really vet these people, I prefer that. I think that's a better policy in the world we live in today. And that was our, you know, prior to the previous 10 years or 8 years, that was our policy. You know, that's how you immigrated to this country. Now, you know, and different administrations have taken different approaches to trying to stem the tide from Mexico. Obviously, he campaigned on a platform of taking a much tougher stance down there. And, you know, I'm okay with that too. I don't think, you know, and we haven't heard him talk about, you know, trying to deport 12 million people or how many are already here illegally. I don't think we need to do that. If you commit a crime here, then you need to.
Well, let's pick this up after we come off the break, because I do agree. And again, look, we know that people don't always have the purest of intentions, and that's what we're trying to prevent. But we are, this is the Bubba Show. We are with Mike Brown, Coach Mike Brown. Baseball season starting for them pretty soon, and it's browncapital.org. Make sure you check him out, one of the best money managers in town. And this is the Bubba Show, Top Awards. LibertyTalk.fm will get you a download of the show every single day. And, of course, the new Bubba's Bottom Line can be found at BubbaTrading.com. As I do a weekly TV podcast, so you can check that out. We'll be right back with more from Mike Brown after the break. The Bubba Show, Top Awards. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz with the coach, Mike Brown, browncapital.org. And Brown in Peoria. And Mike, give us if somebody wanted to get a hold of you, how'd they get a hold of you?
You can reach me at browncapital.org or telephone number is 309-674-1040. My email is mbrown@nationalsecurity.com. My broker dealer is National Security.
Good. And so, Mike, I think that, you know, when we look at it and you talk about the things you're talking about, I mean, it's much better to err on the side of caution in today's world versus, listen, don't get me wrong, we had a lot of similar problems that long ago, but today there's so much power and there's so much more organization and you can do so much more damage today that it's much more important to be, I think, erring on the side of caution. I believe you agree with that, yes?
Absolutely. You know, there was a long simmering war between East and West, you know, the cultures of Islam and the West. I mean, you could make an argument that it goes all the way back to the Crusades and before the Crusades, you know, and it's flared up at different times throughout history. And, you know, right now is one of those times. And there, you know, there's a caliphate in existence, you know, and we're trying to destroy that caliphate before it gets so large that, you know, we have to deal with it on our doorstep. So.
And so now, what do you think of finally a president saying the world's radical Islamic terrorism?
Yeah, well, as we've talked before, how ridiculous was it that they wouldn't say it? You know, I mean, a rose by any other name is still a rose, right?
I mean, unbelievable.
Why wouldn't you call it what it is? So, yeah, to me, that just made them look pedantic when they were unwilling to do that. So. Let's call it what it is. Let's meet it head on and, you know, let's defeat it.
Right. I mean, listen, we know that they want to kill us. I mean, that's a given. And we know that there's something always brewing and there's been a number of different attacks. And of course, one of the things that brings that even deeper was the really poor economic times that were created. And again, I don't blame Obama for everything. I mean, listen, he can only do so much and, you know, he's only part of it. I mean, we've talked about the solution, but this has been brewing for a long time. I mean, this buildup of debt and this whole mess. I think the biggest thing that bothered people was the bragging of the stock market, but yet the lack of jobs. But at the end of the day, I mean, you know, when you create poor people, okay, you take people that have money or working and you turn them into poor people, they're much more likely to fall into a life of terrorism or a life something like that. I mean, listen, nobody remembers, or maybe they do, but that Hitler was actually elected. He didn't take over. He was elected to that job and then took over. But he was well-liked because, why? Because there was too many poor people, and they were looking for the answers. Same reason that the people that all killed themselves with, what was it, Jimmy Jones, or whatever his name was, in Texas?
Yep.
I mean, you know, James Jones, whatever
James
it was.
Right?
When you create, when you take the food out of people's mouths and people get hungry and they see no hope, they will turn to anything. And, of course, ISIS offered them food or whatever. And, you know, again, people will do a lot of things when they get into a position that they don't feel when they feel it's hopeless. And I think they felt that they had no hope. What do you think?
Absolutely. And, you know, part of that was we left a vacuum there with the way that things went in the Iraqi war. It's easy to armchair quarterback it afterwards. But what we've got to do is, you know, first of all, we've got to defeat them. And then we've got to go into those regions. And you know, I don't think we want to get into nation building again, but we need the countries around there to help rebuild the infrastructure there, you know, in parts of Syria and parts of northern Iraq, where, you know, like you said, people have jobs, they have hope. You know, they can go to school, they can try to better their position. If we can't accomplish that, then you're going to be fighting this war for 30 years. And we've already been at it for quite a while. So that's, you know, hopefully we can bring that about and make that happen. And they're certainly going to meet it head on. I mean, they're not going to, you know, and I, again, you know, this Obama didn't create the problem. This has been going on for a very, very long time. I mean, as long as I can remember, you know, even as a kid, you know, in the 70s, there was, you know, the Middle East was on the news nightly. I mean, there, you know, it has been a cauldron for a very long time. You could say that it goes back to World War One when, you know, Churchill was one of the guys that, you know, arbitrarily drew up these countries on a map. So,
No, I mean, listen, wherever the Jews are, that's where there was problem. That was the start of the problem. But, you know, this goes back to, you know, if you go back to Hussein, you know, everybody was so happy they took Hussein out. But you know one thing, that Hussein did? You didn't have any ISIS when Hussein was around, right?
No, yeah, I mean, he, you know, got the thumb, you know, and I think that is Putin's argument for keeping, what's his name, Assad in, in Syria, is Hussein, right? Is keeping him there is because he will keep a lid on that, you know, if you reinstall, you know, and that has been, you know, that had been the U.S. policy for a very long time, was propping up, you know, these dictators on their, you know, tin horn thrones just to keep, you know, the people in check. And obviously, you know, Arab Spring and, you know, I mean, some of the leaked cables and that have been pointed to for leading to the Arab Spring. It's, you know, now you've got Libya's, you know, struggling, if not failed state. I mean, you've got a lot of weapons in that region. You got to have somebody in control of them. So
right, and I mean, look at Saddam Hussein was like Richard J. Daley, the father. Okay, there might have been bad things going on in Chicago, but they never left Chicago, right? I mean, I'm serious. I don't mean it that he was the same kind of guy, but they certain people keep everybody in line, and that was the thing about Hussein. He kept everybody in line there. You didn't have the development of ISIS. You didn't have these terrorist guys going everywhere. They were kept in line right where they were, and we didn't have as much to worry about. And I think that is one of the issues that when you know, you got to be careful on who you decide that you want to take out, because, you know, certain guys keep the nation under control, which is better for us in the long run. Because again, what do we have to deal with it for? We got to rebuild our own country here. That's what needs to be done. And I hope that's one thing that Trump's talking about. I hope we do. And to give him credit, Obama wanted to do it too, but he could never get it passed to go ahead and do that. I mean, that $4 trillion that went from the Fed to the banks would have been much better going to the economy and rebuilding America. What do you think?
Absolutely. I mean, and we've talked about it many times over the years, you know, and it is going to get addressed now. You're going to have some infrastructure build out here. You know, if you want to be a global exporter, you got to be able to get, you know, get things to the ports, have the ports be able to handle them, and, you know, to get them, you know, across the seas and to other places. And we definitely badly need that in this country. So, and that puts people to work. Those are good jobs. You know, those are good construction jobs, rebuilding the ports, these pipelines. Now they need to be done with the environment in mind. And we certainly have the technology to do that in this day and age. I mean, you know, I don't think, you know, anybody's talking about bringing back the smokestack industries of, you know, the 1950s, but there are, you know, a lot of ways to build out this infrastructure and do it with respect to the economy and with respect to the environment while creating good jobs. And I think, you know, we've got the business people who've got to know how to do it. So,
well, listen, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think one of the biggest problems that we've developed in this country and the reason that we have to send everything offshore is because we let the unions take over. And again, the unions were great in concept when they came into play, but they got a little bit too carried away, and they started making way too much money. And I think if you rebuilt and started over here now and brought in reasonable salaries and didn't have, you know, guys making $250 an hour, you know, for whatever they're doing, because again, the real problem with that situation is that the companies don't make enough money to pay that. And that becomes the bigger problem at the end of the day, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, there has to be an equal, you know, a happy equilibrium there, right? Where the company's got to make money, because if you're not profitable, you're not going to be in business very long, but you don't need to make, you know, does the company need to squeeze every last nickel out? No, I don't think that's the case. I don't think CEOs need to make, you know, 300 times what the guy on the line is making, or 3,000 times in some cases, in that situation. So I think there needs to be an equilibrium there. And if we have that, you know, you can have good paying jobs here with the union, but it's going to take everybody coming to the table. So, and again, a lot of those, you know, the smokestack jobs aren't coming back.
Well, we'll get to those after the break. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Hartz with Mike Brown. BrownCapital.org out of Peoria. Really great stuff. Make sure you give him a call or check him out. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the Bubba Show every day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends, now being hosted by Xander. And, of course, BubbaTrading.com will get you Bubba's Bottom Line, which is a new weekly podcast that I do every week. And we'll be right back after the break with more from the coach, Mike Brown, browncapital.org, The Bubba Show. Todd Bahorowitz, we're coming right back. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with the coach, Mike Brown, browncapital.org out of Peoria. Make sure you check him out. Broker-dealer, right? Your broker-dealer. What's it called? Nationwide?
National Security.
National Security. I guess something's right occasionally. All right, so, you know, we're talking about the workforce and unions. But, I mean, Mike, I think that now, you know, one of the things I have a problem with is, like, James Hoffa, right, who now says, well, everybody should be getting $15 an hour, which I think is incorrect. First of all, I don't think most companies can support a raise. I don't think a McDonald's, I don't think a franchisor for McDonald's, I don't think a lot of these smaller companies can afford a $15 an hour pay to everybody because they're just not making enough money right now. But, I mean, obviously we could work something out to get the rates to rise, but I don't necessarily believe that there should be a minimum wage. Again, I go back to the fact that minimum wage jobs are not meant to be full-time jobs. Minimum wage jobs are meant to be for kids, people want a part-time job to pick up the little extra income, whatever. And it's not meant to be your main source of income. What do you say?
No, I agree with that. And, you know, if we can bring back some of the manufacturing jobs, especially in the tech industry and that, in the medical industry, those are jobs you can support a family on. But, yeah, flipping burgers at McDonald's is supposed to be, you know, high school kid, college kid, whatever, part-time job, a little extra money type job maybe if you want to work two jobs. Not supposed to be, you know, your main 40-hour week job. I mean, if we want to turn it into that, okay, a Big Mac's going to cost $8 or $9, you know, a piece. So that's just, you know, as consumers, it's okay. You want it? That's the other side of that argument. You got to be well. You want everybody to make $15 an hour? That's fine. You got to be willing to pay $10 for a Big Mac. So,
right. I mean, the math is simple.
And Wendy's and everybody's got to go along with it. Otherwise, McDonald's just goes out, right? Because you'll go to Wendy's and you can get a $2 hamburger as opposed to a $10 Big Mac.
So. Well, listen, I agree. Look, the problem is that everybody thinks that, you know, a guy owns McDonald's, he makes a fortune. But the whole key to the franchise business is you have to own multiples because you can't make enough out of one store. I mean, it's very simple. Do the math. Take the number of employees and add $6 an hour times the number of hours. You're going to find out that it's over $100,000 a year cash plus benefits or plus taxes. It can't be done. Now, you know, but if we got back to real good jobs and we actually went, I mean, I believe, and I've said this 1,000 times, I'll say 1,001, is the biggest problem in this country is we have too many people like me, okay, that are old, uneducated, and can't get a job because who wants me? Okay, so if you take the average, if you say 45 to 65, there's a lot of mix of machine tool workers, industrial workers, machinists, things like that, that are no longer employable because those jobs don't exist anymore. But if we rebuilt the country, it's got to be what, a 25 or 30 year project to rebuild it all the way done. You could get all those people through retirement. And what are all those people going to do? They're going to spend money. They're going to stimulate the economy and make all these programs work. And in the meantime, at the same time, you're then bringing in the new generation of tech people who will be learn how to work the computers and do all the other things that we don't need to do. However, if we get people in at reasonable rates today, and let's say $25 an hour is a reasonable rate plus your benefits or whatever for a machinist type of job, where we can still do the manufacturing that they do in China, and it's actually not that much more to do it here if it's done properly. And certainly, wouldn't you want to pay? Wouldn't you rather pay a touch more if it was all U.S. manufactured?
Absolutely. You know, and we saw that in the 80s, right? You know, a lot of the manufacturing stuff that, you know, Japan was kicking our ass. You know, you had Lehigh Coca out there, the whole Buy American slogan, and people were willing to do it, and they're willing to do it now. I mean, let's face it, we all have too much crap. I mean, I'm spending my entire weekend this weekend throwing out, cleaning out my basement, throwing out stuff that at one point in time I thought I needed, that, you know, I was just going to a dumpster and a landfill. So, I mean, I think if you come to the people with that message, we're going to create jobs here, you know, it's going to cost a little bit more. You're going to have to pay, you know, would you pay an extra $500 for a car, you know, over the life of that car, if it meant it was, you know, it was manufactured here, as opposed to, you know, China, wherever, and Japan. I mean, a lot of those countries, you know, obviously the Japanese, they make a lot of their cars here. So that's brought jobs here. You know, the Nissan factories, the Toyota factories, they're here. So, yeah, as long as, you know, I think Americans would do that, I wouldn't, you know, it's like, yeah, because, you know, at some point in time, that's the job for my grandkids. That's a job for my kids, you know, so.
Exactly. I mean, so, I mean, you know, again, and I know the example, I actually wrote about this, is that even if you assembled, like, the iPhone, if you assembled the iPhone in the United States of America, it would add $50 cost to the phone, okay? Now, and because most of the companies give away the phones free anyways, is the extra 50 going to make any big difference? I don't think so. But I think we have the capability to be pretty much self-sustaining all the way around. And what's really happened is because of the greed and the squeezing of everybody, and then the strength of the dollar, you know, all this stuff that keeps continuing to come out, I think we could do it here. Because, you know, we're so worried about the currency that it doesn't make any sense anyways. I mean, if we're all self-contained, then the currency doesn't mean anything going anywhere else.
Exactly. And that's, I think if they come, and I think they're going to come at it with that type of campaign, that people would be very open to it. I mean, certainly you pay an extra, would you pay an extra $50? If you say, you know, Apple's going to, you know, bring 10,000 jobs back here, 20, whatever the number is. Absolutely. You know, that's where I think, but they've got to get that message across, you know, and let people know that. And if you do that, then, you know, like, again, we all have way too much stuff. So it's, I think if we can bring jobs back here and, you know, coin their slogan, make America great again, who wouldn't be for it? I don't think you'd have anybody stand up against that.
The liberals would.
Well, they just want to give it away, right?
I mean, what's with all this protesting? What is going on here? Can you explain this to me?
You know, I'm of the mindset that there's, you know, what do you have, like 90-some people got arrested. I mean, that's not a huge protest. And they're idiots. You see, running around breaking out windows. I mean, you're going to have people like that. Give him a chance. You know, obviously, there's a visceral hatred of him. Out there, that there wasn't so much for Obama, I guess, or even for George Bush until the end. So people are unwilling to even give him a chance. He's been in there a week. And, you know, you got Keith Olbermann out there with his video. I didn't listen to it, but I saw it on social media, you know, calling for him to resign. You want him to resign after a week? I mean, come on. So to me, a lot of it's just ridiculous. A lot of it's the show folk, you know. I mean, there are obviously people, and I've had friends who we didn't even discuss how I voted. They have no idea, you know, they're just making the assumption that, you know, we can't be friends anymore. And I'm not one who posts political stuff on social media. So, yeah, there are certainly people who are unwilling even to give him a chance. And I think, you know, wasn't an Obama fan, but I gave him a chance. You know, let's see what happens. I, you know, some of the things he did were good. A lot of them I didn't agree with. But I'm not going to take to the streets. You know, he's our president. You know, you try to work within the framework of it. And, you know, the old saying, you know, think globally, act locally. You know, try and do things in your own community and that make a better situation for those that are coming behind you.
Listen, I agree. I mean, listen, you have to respect the office of president, and you're not going to get him out. You want to get him out, organize and vote in the next election, and you can get him out. I mean, you know, yeah. You know, I look at I can see reasons why you don't like the guy. I can see everything. But the point is now he's there. You still got protesting going on all over the country. And who are these?
Yeah, I guess you did have the women's march. Boy, that turned into a joke, didn't it? How can't even have your kids watch that? It became so vulgar. Like, really? You guys can't march respectfully? Everything has to turn into vulgarities? You know, to me, you just lose credibility when you do that. Like, okay.
I was reading somewhere that, you know, a lot of the asshole actors said they were going to go to Canada if Trump wins, you know? And, yeah. You know, nobody's left yet.
Did any go?
Nobody's going
to actually go.
No, not yet. But I heard Canada said that we don't want you. If you're not going to be a money producer, an income producer here, we don't want you here anyways. What do you think about that?
Yeah, exactly. Some of these people are so self-important. But they Canada would be happy to have them. No, not really. What made you think they wanted you? So to me, give the guy a chance, you know. And we're going to have a recession sometime in probably in this 4 years. I mean, I think we're due for one. There's going to be people forget. You know, Reagan's first year was not all wine and roses. But, you know, by 1982, you know, we were off and running as an economy, you know, in the stock markets, et cetera. And, you know, one of the longest expansions in our country's history. So, and one of the things that I really enjoy about the inauguration, even though, you know, it's not always going to be your guy. I mean, that's on my bucket list, to go to an inauguration at some point in time. And it may not be somebody I voted for when that time comes that I can actually get there. But the fact that we've handed off power 45 times now, peacefully, you know, over 200 and some odd years, to me is, you know, it's unparalleled in human history. The guy who was there was willing to just get on, you know, get on a horse and buggy, get in a helicopter, get on a train and leave without incident. To me, it's just it's really a testament to the founding fathers and to the documents that, you know, that they drew up that are, you know, still governing us today.
Hey, the peaceful transition of power, that's what we got. And that's Mike Brown's motto. Because only two things rise, whatever it's saying. Yeah. Anyways.
Yep, that's right.
This is Mike Brown, browncampbell.org. This is the Bubba Show, Top of Horwitz, libertytalk.fm. We'll get you the download of the show every single day. And, of course, go check out our new podcast, Bubba's Bottom Line. You can find that at bubbatrading.com. In the meantime, we're going to step by here for a break and come back with more from the coach, Mike Brown, browncampbell.org, The Bubba Show, Top of Horwitz. We're coming right back after the break with more from Mike. We'll be right back.
After 10,000 beers.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz with coach Mike Brown, browncampbell.org, and, of course, with National. And, Mike, you know, we've got a lot of things going on here in, you know, with the appointments, and obviously they have not all been approved yet, which is really somewhat ridiculous to begin with, especially because it's the Senate, and the Senate, you know, the Republican Senate is holding it up. So my question to you is although we have a Republican House and a Republican Senate, I believe that it ain't going to be so easy for Mr. Trump or President Trump, because a lot of these guys are going to be running in close elections, and if they're going to be anywhere close to giving it up, they may vote against them because they're worried about their own constituents and about getting reelected. What say you?
I would say take a look at the electoral map. You know, outside of Chicago, New York, California, if you're not running, if you're running in one of those and you're a Republican, you're probably in trouble anyway. You know, if you're running in just about any of the other states, I mean, they voted overwhelmingly for him. So I think, you know, take the temperature of the American public that we elected him and work with him. I mean, and that, to me, that's if you have sought one of those offices, another reason why we need term limits. You know, if these guys are trying to stay in there for 30, 40 years as a career, you know, it's supposed to be about service. Go do your six, ten, you know, if you're a senator, do two terms. Let's have 12 years is the most. So you're going to have done something or go do something afterwards. Same thing, you know, make it 12 years, you know, with the House of Representatives. So you can be reelected, what, six times. And that's it. And then now you're there to get something done, knowing that you're going to have to go out into the world and do something else. you know, too many of these guys, I mean, that's their main objective there, is not to get anything done. It's just to make sure they get reelected. So do away with the pension. There shouldn't be a pension for that, you know, because it's not supposed to be a career. So why do we have pensions for these guys? I mean, that's, to me, that's ridiculous. So I would do away with that. Of course, they're the ones that would have to do away with it. So they're in lies to rub. But, you know, they need to be more about getting things done as opposed to just getting reelected. So to me, if you're not willing to work with them, then you're just trying to get reelected. And, you know, shame on you.
Well, no, I agree 100%, but that is the problem. And the problem is, how do you change that? And that's where the changes have to come. You know, again, because, you know, we've got Social Security that needs to be changed and Medicare that needs to be changed. And, of course, we're nowhere near changing it. Do you think he can get it done? And what do you think should be the right age for Social Security now?
You know, just arbitrarily, why not 70? You know, and let's say 67. Move it up 5 years to where you can start drawing it at 67.
I was thinking 77.
Yeah, I mean, it's supposed to be a safety net, right?
Well, I mean, let me give you a little bit. I'm sure you know this, but the original Social Security was set at 65 because 62 was the average living age. So it was 3 years.
Yeah.
That's the true story. That's so 3 years past.
No, I know.
So if it's 75, which is now is the average, why shouldn't it be 77? I mean.
Yeah, so I agree. I like your point. Because they said it 3 years on, it's okay, you need to have enough money to take care of yourself. And if by chance you live to 65 and you're the exception, then we'll provide a safety net for that, right? I mean, that's what it was set out to be initially. So, yeah, I would be all right with that. The, you know, let's means test it. I'm all for means testing it. You know, if you're drawing a $1 million pension, do you need your $2,000 a month Social Security or whatever it comes out to be? You know, I'm fine with means testing it. You know, that's just part of, you know, people fight back. Well, I paid into that. Okay. Well, you know, part of that's you're paying into it for the social, you know, for the social good. I mean, it's part of the social contract. So I'm okay with means testing. I'm okay with raising the age, and I'd like to see him get something, you know, let's bring it to a national vote. Let's have a national referendum or amendment of term limits. You know, let's, so that's what it's going to take. It's not going to get changed in Congress. These guys aren't going to vote themselves out.
No, they're not. But I want to go back to Social Security for a minute, because I would like to see, and I want to ask your opinion, what if everybody had their own IRA? Okay, and so instead of you paying in to the government for Social Security, you had to take the money out of your check, but it immediately went into an IRA of your choice, which was not run by the United States government. Okay, only directed from your paycheck to there. What do you think of that instead of Social Security?
Well, they wouldn't be able to go in there and pilfer it out for their own purposes, so that's never going to work. Right?
You're right. No,
they're not going to allow us to control our own money. Are you kidding?
You're right.
I would love it. I mean, you know, and then you want to teach people about money. You know, think about every kid when he starts, you know, his first job. You know, for me, it was paperboy. And, you know, every one of my checks, and I can see, especially now in this day and age where kids can look it out on their phone, it wouldn't even be statement to statement. You know, they can track money from a young age that's going in and talk about being able to teach kids about, you know, money and, you know, planning and saving and all that. It would be done automatically from a very young age. And the only reason not to do that is it's so simple now with technology, is because then they couldn't go in and use it when they wanted to for their own means, right?
No, so, I agree. That's,
I mean, say, you have, start with kids that are, say, everybody who's under the age of 21. The rest of us, we got to stick with the old system because we got to play it out and pay for it for the people that are out there now. Okay, that's just our bad luck. But, yeah, everybody who's under the age of 22, so when you get out of college.
Right.
You know, everybody's in college now, whatever you're paying goes into your own account and you can track it.
I agree. I
love it. Why not?
I think it'd be great, you know, but I mean, I think that right now what should happen before you do anything, because we're not going to get that done, so, but what should happen now is that if you're 25 or under, okay, then you don't get Social Security till you're 75, okay? So now the new age.
Yeah.
So what you're doing is you're letting some of the younger kids pay for the older people, which is what we need anyways, and that's the proper way to do it. And it's amazing that the government never has the foresight to think more than two steps ahead. I mean, it's the same way that they work in the construction industry when they build a highway. I mean, they build a highway today. It's already obsolete before they finish it. I mean, can't they figure out that we're going to continue to grow? I don't get that part of it. But why not make it so that, I mean, because a kid who's 21 or 22 or 23, I mean, A, they're going to probably live longer than 75 by that time. Number one. Number two, you know, there's still a lot of people that would like to work that don't have to work, but they get forced out of their jobs at 62, 63, 60 because the company wants to replace them with somebody cheaper. But if we're going to have a longer lifespan, then they wouldn't be getting forced out and people would be able to keep their jobs. Because listen, nobody, if you're healthy, you know, is everybody just looking to get to 65? No, most people still like to work past that age, you know, unless they were just in a real tough job or weren't making any money anyways. But most people would prefer to stay out of work, don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, obviously people are healthier. And I don't know how many people I've known that have retired and then somewhat unretired. You know, they all say the same thing. Not only do they like working, but they get to pick when and how they work. You know, maybe they're not working full time, but they're working a part-time job when they want to work, you know, and something that they enjoy or they're volunteering. But absolutely, people are so much healthier at those ages now than they were even 30 years ago, that why not? You know, why not allow them to continue? And it'll help solve some of the Social Security problem, right? So
well, that's what I'd like to see, because again, you know, we've got so many problems with all the pension funds around the globe, and it's all from, you put the right words on it, but it's pilfering. I mean, you know, you've got you know, a bunch of things that are going to be really, really bad coming down the road, and these things are going to have to be fixed, and unfortunately, we're going to have to fix it for them because we're going to get stuck with the bill, and, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff. You got time to come back tomorrow again, young man?
Absolutely.
All right, so we're going to come back and continue this tomorrow with Mike Brown from browncapital.org. Make sure you check out his website and check out him. He does a great job at helping you. All you have to do is ask him a question, and he'll give you his straight-up opinion. And he's out of Peoria, but obviously in today's world, we can work anywhere. So give him a call. And what's that phone number again?
309-674-1040.
1040, that's not a good, I hate 1040, that's tax time. Anyways,
yeah. This is the new taxes in my office a long time ago.
This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and LibertyTalk.fm will get you the download of the show, and of course, BubbaTrading.com will get you Bubba's Bottom Line. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station, with the coach, Mike Brown, from BrownCap.org, the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll come back tomorrow. Everybody have a great night. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you later. Wake up, Maggie.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.